Chapter 2, Live a Life of Health. Michael knew that he would be passing by the estate where Charlie worked, so he called the number Charlie had given him and asked if he could stop by. It had been 3 weeks since he had run out of gas in front of Mr. Davis's estate. In hindsight, Michael considered it serendipitous, allowing him a chance to peek into a world he had once dreamed of and now seemed so far away. The fact that he had met Charlie, though, and Charlie's willingness to share the secrets of Mr. Davis's success was something that had started to reignite Michael's passion for excellence that had once burned bright. Certainly life hadn't changed overnight, but he had been thinking about Charlie's words about changing himself and making himself better ever since that day Charlie challenged him. Michael realized that he had let himself go. He'd stopped dreaming. He'd become complacent. He was blaming circumstances rather than taking responsibility for himself and his situation. But he was determined to change all of that. Since that day 3 weeks ago, Michael had written down a list of 10 things about his life that he knew he could change if he applied himself. He looked at it each day and tried to work on at least one of them, just to make sure he was acting on what he knew was true. They were small steps, but they were steps in the right direction. That was more than he had done for himself in years. When Michael had called Charlie, Charlie said it would be great to see him again and invited him to swing by and chat. Michael told him what he had done since their last visit, and he was hoping Charlie would tell him some more about Mr. Davis. Charlie assured him that he would be glad to. Michael thought it was somewhat strange learning about Mr. Davis from Charlie, but he realized that a guy like him was hardly going to get a chance to spend much time with a rich, powerful, and busy man like Mr. Davis, so he was happy to take what he could get. As he turned into the entrance, Michael saw that the gate was open just as Charlie said it would be. He began down the driveway and could see that Charlie was out in the garden to the right of the house. Michael pulled his car into one of the parking places next to the workshop and walked over toward Charlie. He looked toward the house, wondering if he would ever see any of the Davis family, perhaps even Mr. Davis himself. The sun was shining beautifully, and when Charlie looked up to greet Michael, he held his gloved hand up to shield the sun. "Hello, Michael. Good to see you again." "Well, great to see you too, Charlie." Charlie motioned to the garden. "You don't mind if I keep on weeding and pruning while we talk, do you?" "No, not at all," Michael replied. "I'm glad you called to stop by. You were coming through anyway?" "Yes, I have an appointment this afternoon, but I wanted to drop by if you were around." "Well, I am certainly around. What's on your mind?" "I've been thinking about our last conversation. Quite a bit, actually." "You have?" Charlie asked as he knelt back down to work on the flowers he'd been tending to. "What have you been thinking?" "Just about needing to change my life and work on myself. I had given up and just accepted mediocrity. I realize that I want more out of life. I mean, seeing Mr. Davis's house and all, it gave me a little vision of what I could become. Not that I'll ever become as rich and successful as Mr. Davis, but it showed me that more is possible. Does that make sense?" "Certainly does, Michael. Seeing what others have accomplished can provide you with a positive ambition of your own." "This may seem strange," Michael said, "but I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind telling me the other 11 pillars of success, as you, or Mr. Davis, puts it. I was thinking that from time to time maybe you and I could get together and you could tell me more about Mr. Davis and how he got to be where he is in life." "I think that would be fantastic, Michael. I get the feeling that you're ready to grow some. So, what do you want to know?" "Well, why not just tell me the next couple of pillars? I'm assuming you know them all, right? Sort of like the 10 Commandments? He said this with a slight chuckle. "Well, they aren't quite the 10 Commandments, Michael, but they are important nonetheless, and yes, I know them quite well. I have 30 minutes. Next time I'll schedule more if you can do it, but maybe you could tell me the next two today and I can begin working on them." "Did you work on the first one yet?" "That's important because you have to apply what you learn," Charlie said. "I did apply it. I made a list of things I can control to change in my life, and I've taken a couple of small steps towards improving." "Very good, Michael. I'll be glad to tell you the next two then." Pillar number 2 is total well-being. Mr. Davis believes in what he calls three-dimensional health. "What's that?" "Well, when you say health to most people, they think of your physical well-being, but Mr. Davis thinks of it as more than that. He thinks that a person is made up of 3 parts, the body, the soul, and the spirit, 3 dimensions. "Okay, I could guess, but can you explain it a little more than that?" "Sure. We have our bodies, that's obvious, but we also have our soul, which is basically our intellect and our emotions, also our will. And then we have our spirit. That's the part of us that transcends this world. It's the part of us that is designed to be eternal. The fact is that most people pick up one of those and work exclusively on that area. Mr. Davis thinks that we need to work on each area because they're interdependent." "What do you mean, they pick one area and work on it?" Well, you know, you have some people who work on their physical health. Now, don't get me wrong. We need to work on ourselves because for so many people, that's an area they neglect. Have you ever noticed that some people take better care of their pets than they do themselves? Their animals can run like the wind, but they can barely make it up a flight of stairs. Those who take care of their physical health many times neglect the other two areas. Other people are all about the intellect and forget their bodies or spirits. And then there are people who are so spiritual, they're no earthly good. Mr. Davis believes that you function best when you live in balance. Are you in balance, Michael? Michael looked down at his 40-year-old stomach. Not bad, he thought. Well, I'm in pretty good shape. I could work out a bit more. What about your intellect, your emotions, and your spiritual life, Charlie pressed. I admit I don't read much. I watch television when I have free time. That won't do you much good, Charlie broke in. Michael continued, as for my spiritual life, he just let it go because he didn't know how to answer. Cat got your tongue, Charlie kidded, looking up. No, I just don't do much with that. Well, it is also very important, the most important. Mr. Davis says that it's like a three-layered onion. You peel each layer back until you get to the core. The spiritual is at the core, and it is the most important. Then the second layer is the soul, and the outer layer is the physical, the body. Each part rests on the one below it, and it is only as strong as the layer below. That makes sense? Yeah, I guess so. So where do I start? Well, you can start by going back to your roots. Did you grow up with any spiritual influence? Yeah, sure did. Went to church every week. Well, there you go. Start there. Read good material that will help you reflect on your spiritual life. That's a good place to start. What about the physical? I don't get much time to exercise. You need to start, even if it's just a half hour a day. You're married, right? Yeah, I sure am. Ask your wife to go on a nightly walk for half an hour. She'll love it, and you'll get some exercise. The idea is to get started. Mr. Davis always says that we should take good care of our body because it's the only place we have to live. Well, that's a good idea, Michael said. Michael looked at his watch and realized he only had another 10 minutes or so. He wished he'd given himself more time. What's number 3?